Poppy Tooker is the host of Louisiana Eats on WWNO in New Orleans. Now, if I could channel Poppy into my house every morning, I'd never have a bad day. This woman is a flamboyant dynamo. And if you want to know about the lost dishes of New Orleans, get to Poppy Tooker. We met up in her kitchen. She had the coffee pot on, her three pugs were lined up on the couch, and Poppy had on her trademark bright red lipstick and food-shaped jewelry. On the stove were a couple of cast iron pots.
Well, everybody comes to New Orleans and thinks that the thing to do is to go to the French Market and have beignets and café au lait. And they never even learn about the calas. So we're going to have calas, which are similar to beignet, but better with a more interesting history.
Now, what exactly is a calas?
It's a rice cake. And if you were to go to Africa today, to Ghana or Liberia, you would find the women in the open air markets making calas. So this is a dish that actually made the trip across the Atlantic Ocean with the rice-growing slaves who were brought here because we didn't know how to grow rice. And the calas became a very important part of the New Orleans history. And we are talking about the time before the Louisiana Purchase, which of course happened in 1803. The city was ruled by the Code Noir. And in the Code Noir, it laid out all the regulations for how the white people, the slaves, and the free people of color lived here together. And what a lot of people don't appreciate is that the free people of color owned property, they were educated, they were doctors and lawyers, they sent their kids for higher education to Europe. It was a very different climate than in the rest of the United States. So in the Code Noir, there are two rules. Number one, all slaves are required by law to have at least one day a week off. So the slave's day off most often was Sunday. And many of them would become street vendors. And they would call out, "Cala, cala, belle cala to show, madame, belle cala to show," which means beautiful cala is very hot. The other thing in the Code Noir that I really believe reflects on the calas tradition is it said if a slave came to you, demanded his price, and could pay it, then you were required by law to take his money and let him go. So undoubtedly, it was this historic rice cake that actually ended up buying freedom for many of them and their families. And I'd say that's a lot more interesting and historic than some old beignet.
Yes, talk about having positive baggage. Yeah. So how do you make it?
Okay, this is what we do. We eat more rice here in southern Louisiana than just about any place else except for Asia. So we've always got some leftover rice in the refrigerator. We're going to start off with 2 cups of leftover cooked rice. And to those 2 cups of rice, we're going to add 6 tablespoons of flour and 2 teaspoons of baking powder, and then 3 heaping tablespoons of sugar. And we mix the dry ingredients together. And then we're going to sprinkle on a little bit of vanilla.
Uh-huh.
And then for the binding agent, we add 2 raw eggs. And this is going to make a nice tight batter.
It's not a soft batter, let's put it this way.
No.
And this is going to be pretty easy to shape, right?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, when it comes to shaping it, my preferred method is with a pair of tablespoons, like oval soup spoons.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to get 2 spoons.
Okay, so we're going to go over to the stove.
Yeah.
And you've got a big cast iron pot.
Yeah.
Oil.
Check and make sure that we've got a good frying temperature.
So what did you just do now?
I just dropped a grain of rice in, and pretty much if the grain pops up to the top and starts bubbling, then we're all set.
And all you've done is you've taken a heaping tablespoon of the batter and you've put it into the tablespoon.
Yeah.
And then the other tablespoon is sort of spooning over it, and you've formed almost an oval. Well, it's an oval, but it has a triangular shape to it.
You keep
just shaping it.
And then it's ready to go off into the hot oil. Okay, so you just spoon it gently into the hot oil.
Right.
And then it pops up to the top and it begins to fry. The really great thing with the Kela is that they're foolproof. They're obedient. And you know, there's not very many obedient foods. When you put them in the pot, they brown on one side and then they turn themselves over and brown on the other. So you don't have to mind them.
Oh, it's puffing up a bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that leavening going to work. How long are they going to take to?
They're just going to take until they're brown on both sides. And did you see it just turn over?
I sure did. Yes, okay, it just flipped its little old self right
let's
over.
Let's do another one so that you can see that. And you know, I'm going to tell you, the reason why I have been on this crusade to save the Kela and bring it back is because over 20 years ago, I did a festival and I knew how to make them, but I hadn't grown up with them and I didn't know how special a part of the culture they really were here. Until an old man came up to the booth and he said to me, "Lady, my mama used to make these all the time when I was a little boy, and I had completely forgotten all about that until just now. Could you please tell me, how do you make these?" And it was so clear in this man's face that the taste of the Kela had brought his mother back alive to him. And you know, it doesn't matter what race or religion or nationality you are. The thing that makes us all human is that we all have to eat to live. And the place where we all come together is at the table. So I set out to save the Kela. And I did it by talking about it in cooking classes, by telling anybody in the food world who would listen. And we really started to make some traction. And then about 10 years ago, I started making them savory style. And it caught the attention of some local chefs. And it started showing up on restaurant menus. And you can find savory Kela at Frank Brightson's restaurant. You can find them at Cochon, at Steven Strajewski and Donald Link's restaurant. And so they're helping me do what my little great-grandmother used to say, which was, "Poppy, eat it to save it." Now, Mama meant clean your plate.
Right,
but
right.
In the work that I've been involved in, it makes all the more sense, because if we don't eat it, how are we going to save it?
So this
is... are you ready to taste?
I am ready to taste.
Well, as soon as they're cool enough.
And so, oh, they look gorgeous.
Oh, they are delicious.
They really look gorgeous.
So here, we're going to sprinkle them with some powdered
Sifting
sugar.
Sifting some powdered sugar over them.
They're hot, Lynn. Be careful.
Yeah. Oh, all the rice on the surface has gotten really crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so soft inside and it's bread-like cakey. And mm-hmm. cakey. But much more interesting than if it was just a straight flour dough.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So you're ready to help me eat them to save them?
I think so.
Thank you.
Saving is part of my way of life.
If anybody can help me bring the Kela back, I know it's you, Lynn.
Well, now we have to spread it around the country.
Thank you.
Thank you, Poppy. These are really dynamite. Really dynamite.
Poppy Tooker hosts Louisiana Eats on WWNO and wrote the Crescent City Farmers Market Cookbook. Now, to hear the rest of our interview where Poppy talks homemade Creole cream cheese and to get her recipes for rice Kela and that cheese, check out the website, splendidtable.org.